I'd like to talk to you this morning about our service for Christ. Two things, two very important things determine the effectiveness of our service for Christ. First, as I mentioned to the children, is our attitude. And second, is our conduct. Those that we minister to and that we come in contact with every day of our lives take note of our attitude. You can go into a restaurant, a store, you can look around you. We went into a Chinese restaurant the other night, and immediately I noticed a little girl about the size of Christian that had an attitude that I would have loved to have helped her overcome. And we constantly encounter people that need an attitude adjustment. And this child needed one real bad. So we need to take note of our attitude. And second, we need to take note of our conduct. Because people are watching us. People watch every move that we make, especially if we claim to be a Christian. They can be around us 5 minutes, and they're wondering, well, this person claims to be a Christian. Are they for real? Or are they just putting on? Are they out for their own self-praise and their own glory? Are they just blowing their own horn? So our attitude should be one of service to Jesus Christ by serving others and by putting their interest first. Nobody wants to listen to us go on and on and on about our problems or how good God has blessed us or me, 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 me. They want to know that you are for real, that you care about the things that touch their lives, because you won't be able to convince them of anything pertaining to Christ if they don't feel like that you are for real and that you care. Yes, we have all met people that we wondered, are they for real? Every day, if you're a working person and you meet somebody, they're going to wonder, are they for real? I remember a lady from Chattahoochee that was, sugar would not melt in this woman's mouth, folks. She was just as nice. She was syrupy, soupy nice. And I wondered, did she ever lose it in the privacy of her own home? And over the years, I've asked people, is she really that nice? Is she for real? Because I try to be relatively nice. But if it comes to soupy nice, watch it. If it comes to soupy nice, you can forget it. I'm just not a soupy nice person. But this lady was just as sweet as honey. And I always wondered, what was her agenda? What was she up to? Because anybody that nice cannot be for real. Either that or she was living in some kind of bubble. And I never could quite figure that out. But we ask ourselves a question over and over and over again. Is that person for real? And we look at these people and we figure out that, well, maybe they're not for real. Because we see them talking the talk of Christianity. We see them talking about Jesus and God and how good God is. But then they don't walk the walk. It's two different things entirely. We can't help but look at Peter. He walked with Jesus every day of his life for 3 long years. He was one of the guys that hung out with Jesus. But we look at Peter immediately following the crucifixion, and he kind of wanted to fade into the background. He didn't want anybody to really know that I'm one of Jesus' disciples. I'm one of Jesus' followers. He just kind of wanted to fade away and not call attention to himself. But Jesus says, if you do it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. There were 3 men, 3 Christian men, that were out fishing on a lake one day, and an angel suddenly appeared to them in the boat. And when I first heard this, I thought, yeah, right. That's when I would have been like Peter and I would have started trying to walk on the water. But they didn't. These 3 men were sitting in the boat fishing, and up comes this angel and joins them. And the first guy, after he kind of got over the initial shock of things, he asked the angel, says, my back has been killing me for years. He says, I have this constant back pain. He says, can you heal me? The angel said, sure, and instantly the man was healed. The second man, sitting there in the boat, says, well, I have to wear these awful glasses. He says, the lens are as thick as a glass of a Coca-Cola bottle. He says, can you cure my vision? And instantly the man was healed. The angel looked over at the third man, and the man says, whoa, 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 back up. I'm on disability. Now, what do you think that the angel and those other 2 men wanted to ask this third man? Are you for real? Disability or no disability, I would want to be healed. I would want freedom from that burden that was taking control of my life. They were wondering, are you for real? Not wanting to be healed. The Apostle Paul, in our study of the Word today, had the key to the effectiveness among the Thessalonian church. Let's read together what he says to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had the courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with pretext of greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also of our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You remember our labor and our toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure and upright and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. And as you know, we dealt with each of you like a father does his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we see that the Apostle Paul did not seek personal glory, nor did he seek to please men. He sought to be true and honest to the gospel and to honor the Lord. He displayed a caring spirit toward these new converts in Thessalonica, and he rejoiced at every word he heard about what great progress they were making. He was happy for them that they were growing in the faith. And Paul's attitude toward these people was an important factor in how rapidly they matured as Christians. During this time, history tells us that reports about the faith and the faithfulness of the Thessalonians, this news swept the entire known world at that time. So it wasn't like being confined to one little village. When the Holy Spirit moved in the lives of Thessalonians, it spread out all over, everywhere. Just like when His Holy Spirit is allowed to move in our hearts and our lives, it will spread all over Tallahassee. It won't be confined to Bethel United Methodist Church, but everybody will know that we have been with Jesus Christ. My grandmother told me when I was a small child that you can catch a lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And I must have been a slow learner, because it took me quite a while to realize what she was talking about. She was actually telling me that I needed to change my attitude, that if I wanted to have friends, I had to be a friendly person, that I couldn't be a snob. And Lord knows we didn't have nothing in my house to be snobbish about. But I couldn't be reserved and into my own little world. I had to come out of my comfort zone and let people know that I cared for them and that Jesus Christ cared for them. I had to be friendly in order to have friends. And if we want to win the lost people in our area to Jesus Christ, what do we have to do? We have to be Christ-like. If you want friends, you got to be friendly. If you want to make believers and see Christian people, you have to be Christ-like. We have to be for real. A person's attitude also dictates their conduct. We don't always see the motive for a person's actions, but their conduct, the way they behave, it's always visible. There may be things that a person will never know about us, but they see how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, and it speaks louder than any words could possibly speak. If you claim to be a Christian today, and everybody you come in contact with is watching your behavior, they're asking, are you for real? Or do you have some kind of hidden agenda? There was a German man who lived in Nazi Germany during World War II. And he gave his testimony. And he said that he thought he was a Christian. And he had heard stories about how that the Jews were being persecuted and mistreated and carted off to concentration camps and just murdered for no reason. And every Sunday, he would go to his little Christian church, and they would pray and they would sing. And in the middle of the service, they could hear the train whistle blowing down the track. And as the train approached, the cries of the Jews on the train that were being herded around like cattle became louder and louder in their ears. And they would sing hymns in that church to try to drown out the sound of these screaming people on these trains. And the closer the train would get to the church, the louder they would sing, so that they couldn't hear the cry and the need of these people. This man has repented for not doing anything. But he says that when he lays down at night and tries to go to sleep, that he still hears those cries. There are people all around us here at Bethel in this very neighborhood that are in a similar situation to the Jews that was in those boxcars being carted off to their death. But the destination of the people that are living around us today is far worse than we could ever imagine. It's far worse than what was awaiting the Jewish people. The people around us, listen at me carefully, are on their way to an eternal hell. These people in the boxcars were going to die. But the people around us are going to die also, and eternity awaits them. Where will they spend eternity? Are you for real today? Or are you like the German Christians? Do you want to ignore the problems that we have in our neighborhood? Are you wanting to ignore the problems that we have in Tallahassee and just kind of hope that they'll go away? Are you thinking like Peter and thinking, well, let me just fade off into the background and ignore the situation, and maybe everything will straighten itself up? There should be no question about what you should do if you are a for real Christian. Because you have the one thing at your disposal today that can save this community, that can save your sons and your daughters and your brothers and your sisters from eternal destruction. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ at your disposal. In our study of the Word today, we find that Paul is calling on the Thessalonians to examine his conduct. Sometimes if you attend a class or a seminar or something, the instructor will hand you a form to fill out, rating this person on how they did in teaching the class. That's what Paul was doing in our lesson today. He was wanting the Thessalonians to evaluate him on how he was conducting the ministry of Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to know, he asked him, he says, was I too bold in my presentation of the truth, or was he true to the trust that God had placed in him to preach the gospel? Did he use his apostleship to burden the people? Did he show love and tenderness and concern? Did he live uprightly, and did he counsel the people in the way of the Lord? I ask you today, are you willing to have your service examined this closely? Are you willing to have your service examined, period? It's one thing to call yourself a Christian, It's another thing to be a for real Christian. We all have had times in our lives that we hesitated to go out on a limb for anybody. And times is getting more and more like that as time goes on, that we're not willing to go out on a limb for somebody that we know, much less somebody that we don't know. But Paul and his followers were directed supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to Macedonia. Their mission was ordained of God because they were faithful to do their part. Because of their faithfulness, their mission did not fail. People were saved. Lives were changed. The preaching of the gospel changed the Thessalonians. You're looking at a group of people here that had worshipped idols of wood and stone, that couldn't see, that couldn't feel, that was nothing. And they were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's human nature to avoid things that hurt us, that shame us, that make things difficult for us. We're not willing to stick our hand back out there again if we know it's going to get slapped. But we cannot let how we were treated in the past affect our present work for Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard people make the remark, "We tried that in the past and it just didn't work. There's no use in trying to do that again because the folks in the community, the folks on the town council, the folks, period, just are not receptive to that kind of a program." I know you've heard it and probably said it. That does not mean that it was a wrong thing to do. It might mean that you were not prayed up. It might mean that that was not really what God wanted done at that particular time. Maybe God wanted it done next weekend instead of 5 years ago. Our timing is not the same as God's timing. We have to pray and seek the Holy Spirit so that our timing and God's timing, Daniel likes to use the phrase, being on the same page. We need to be on the same page with God and our timing be the same as God's timing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us that the gospel originates in God and is accomplished by his power. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The response of the congregation to the power of God and to the preaching of Paul and his co-workers produced 5 results. They became a pattern or model of the believers to follow. The word of the Lord was proclaimed loudly. It reached all the way across the entire Roman Empire. The congregation had learned the liberating difference between the idols of wood and stone and the joy and the peace that comes from serving the true living Redeemer. The search for significance, for meaning, and a valid reason for living was anchored in the fact that Jesus was coming soon. And sharing the gospel with others changed these people in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas and the other followers evangelized them, and they were transformed. But it was not a one-way street. The apostles were blessed too. I want you to know today that when we do the work that God has called us to do, when we faithfully become for real Christians, we will be blessed as we bless others. Paul and his followers spoke with boldness, and they were effective. They were not ineffective. They spoke the truth, not flattery. They were motivated by God. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard Daniel say that he's always so blessed when others are blessed from his ministry and music. If you're for real today, if you have the right attitude, and you guard your conduct as you minister others, you will be truly blessed. The power and the anointing of Jesus Christ is all that you need to be a blessing to others. Amen. Would you please stand with me for the responsive reading that is found in your bulletin, and remain standing for the closing hymn. What the Lord gives us is the wisdom to conceive and the courage to believe. He will give us the power to achieve.
An exhilarating life of caring discipleship begins with an unreserved commitment of our lives to the Lord.
We say with Paul, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I've committed to him." There is no limit to what the Lord is able to do when we leave the results to Him. We adore Him when we lay our lives before Him in complete surrender.
Lord, we adore you.
Here are our minds. Think through them. Here are our emotions. Love through them. Here are our bodies. Fill us with your healing and shine through them. This is our prayer as we sing together.